Okay, Nita, we lost you for a minute, but glad to have you back.
So sorry. Yeah, I'm glad to be back too.
Good. Go ahead and
First of all, I want to say that I really want to teach you on the higher things of the spirit, but the Lord just keeps giving me prophetic stuff to say about America and our need to pray. So I hope you'll bear with me at least one more week and let me share what he's given to me. And then maybe after our Portland conference, he'll let me begin to share some things of the higher realm of the spirit. So pray, how can I say this? Bringing me back, bringing to my memory as well as sharing things that were given just yesterday, regarding the higher things of the spirit. So I've been praying all day on and off, Lord, please tell me which of these messages you want me to give tonight. When he finally spoke to me, I just about broke, like I did yesterday, over sharing with you his concerns for America. So that's why we're going in the direction we're going. We've been praying for 18, 19 years. I think it was in the year, I'm pretty sure it was in the year 2000 that we began. And we've been praying for America, repenting, interceding, declaring, fasting. We've been standing for America all these years because the Lord asked me to do that. He came to me in a 3-hour visitation, told me where America was heading and where he would let it go if we did not start the work of what he called gathering of the eagles, where we would carry the whole conference in prayer for America. In fact, he even went so far as to tell me that America's problem is not adequate teaching, but America's problem is inadequate prayer. So that's what he wanted us to focus on. Of course, in every meeting of the GOE, every single meeting, there's always been teaching on the subject that we were to pray over so that you could pray not only by the Spirit, but with your understanding, as Paul told us to do. I know for me, if I have understanding, I can flow with the Holy Spirit so much easier. I'm just one that needs that. My friend and old secretary was a person who didn't need that. She would just go into intercession and pray and pray, and she'd keep up with me 2 or 3 hours of deep intercession and not even know what she was praying over. So I've always respected people like that and thought how wonderful it would be to be able to be like that, but I'm not. I'm one that needs knowledge and information so that I can flow with the Holy Spirit with all of my soul and all of my spirit. So what I'm going to give to you tonight is where we are going. I spent many, many years warning America of these things. This is not new to me. The only thing that is new is that he wanted me to rehearse these some of these issues tonight. I wrote my book, Prepare for the Winds of Change, off of many visitations from angels and from the Lord Jesus Christ regarding America's future if there was not repentance and change, both by the church and for the nation, for the church and for the nation. The church has basically lost her way. The fact that he's raising up other prayer movements, I think, is great. He told me in the beginning of this that we would be like a Gideon, a Gideon's army, where we would lead groups of people into these deep revelations for intercession, but that there would come a time when you might say the armies of Israel would join in and prayer movements would sweep across the nation. So it sounds like we're entering into that time, but we're entering into that time not because we failed. We have not failed. We have already pushed back total economic catastrophe by 10 years for the work of the gatherings, the intercessions that have gone on in the gatherings. That's an amazing thing that God has stopped year after year what the elite wanted to do. And I could go through a whole list, although I'm not going to do that tonight because it would take too long. I could go through a whole list of their plans that we have stopped, 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 and stopped again because we prayed. And so we haven't failed. But the enemy is not going to stop. You know, the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not let you go. He will hold you with an outstretched arm. He will hold you. He will not let you go unless I deliver you. And that's what we're contending with right now. You might say the prince of Pharaoh is threatening, breathing out fiery threatenings to destroy America before God can utterly, literally, devour his works and set us on an even path for a season. He's working as feverishly as he can. And I think I don't need to go into a lot of information. I think everyone on this line knows that this is true. You know how serious it is. You know that the 2016 election delivered us from the New World Order because we prayed Trump into office. But first, we spent 16 years repenting for America's sins so that we could pray Trump into office. Without the repentance, we would not have had the deliverance. So God is working. The enemy is working, but God is working. And anyone that has kept a mindful focus on what President Trump is doing, you know that it's been more than just getting the right president. This man has defeated stronghold after stronghold after stronghold of America's enemies. So prayer has continued, God has continued, the enemy has continued, and we are going to win. We're going to win because we're going to keep praying until we can't pray anymore. God has got something tremendous that he wants to do for America, but we're still in a place that America by its own carnal nature can go the opposite direction if it wants. And until we see revival sweeping across this nation, that will be the case. It isn't that God's wrath is upon America. That has been halted. He's giving us time. We have bought time, not just the 10 years I previously mentioned, but in the days ahead, we have bought valuable, critical, life-giving time, and we've got to make the most of it. The more we pray, the more we stand in the gap, the more we believe God to accomplish all that he wants to accomplish in, through, and for this nation and the world. As America goes, so will go the world. And as long as we continue being those stalwart intercessors on the wall of vision, God will do his part. That's his promise. He raised this ministry up to enable himself to do what he wants to do for America. So if it doesn't work, it's not going to be his fault, but it will be the church's fault for letting down on the intercession. And I think that we're all mature enough to be able to accept that, to handle that, and to respond with prayer, which is what the Lord needs and wants. Okay, please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 51. No, let's go to chapter 50. 50, verse 37 and 38. A sword against the horses and against the chariots. Obviously, that means the weapons of war. And against all the foreign troops that are in our midst. We have Nazi troops in our nation. Even as we speak tonight, they've been here for a long time preparing for the moment of takeover. We have Muslim terrorists, whether they're with ISIS or the Taliban or some other group. It doesn't really matter. They're here, and they've been here at least since President Bush Jr.'s administration. I saw visions of it. The Lord told me where they were, and in the natural, little by little, these things have been revealed. So we have the soldiers of our enemy here in our midst. I can't tell you how many visions he's given me, warning me that Nazi soldiers are here on our land, waiting for the call to raise up their arms against this nation. My dear friends, I love to hear people pray. You know, that's just one of my favorite things in the whole world. I love to hear people pray. I love to hear intercessors pray. I love to hear people who have a burden pray. They're not just mouthing clerical words, but they have a burden. And they know they have to touch God to have this burden released. I love to hear people like that pray. I'm so glad he called us to do the work of the gatherings, because it's meeting after meeting, day after day, of this kind of intercession. His holiness comes in and our hearts break, and it's wonderful. So here we are. We know that our enemies are in our midst. We also, please consider this. I know about 12 or 13 years ago that we had UN troops all around the borders of America. And so when I went to the UN, I took a prayer group there. I asked the person who was giving us a tour of the UN, what about the UN soldiers? that are surrounding this nation. Why are they surrounding the nation? What is their purpose? What are they waiting for? And the person who was talking with our group got very nervous. I mean, she was him-hawing around. Finally, she said, no, there are not. That's wrong. That's wrong information. And I said, I don't think so. And I think you know that. But if you don't feel a liberty to tell us, that's fine. We'll find out another way so that we can pray. And she said, well, let's keep going. And so at that time, at any rate, that was the case. We did pray, and hopefully at least some of these people were removed from our borders because their purpose was not a friendship. Their purpose was to be in place for the overtake of America. What I never hear anyone talking about, and before I even say it, I want to address this issue. Anyone that knows anything about our ministry knows we love the Asian people. We love them dearly. And we just want so badly for them to blend in and for us to blend in with them in our meetings. We love the Asian people. But there is a purpose, a plan for the Chinese government to meet and have concourse with Russia. And we love the Russian people too, incidentally. I think most or all of you know that our worship leader is from Russia, first generation. So if I didn't love Russians before this man joined us, I love them now because he is just so dear to us, he and his family. So I'm not against the people of Russia or the people of China or Asia or Mexico. I'm not against the people of any nation. I just want you to know that there is a confederacy of nations that have been waiting in the wings with plans and purposes for America that we have, through our repentance, held off, unbeknownst to you. I don't make issues of that in the gatherings. I might in this next gathering because things are rising to a peak right now, but I haven't been. We have simply prayed, repented of wars and prayed for God's protection, and he's done the rest. So we have a situation right now where we have Chinese bases in America. I know of two in California. I know whole cities that the Chinese have overtaken. I know whole cities that the Muslims have overtaken. So our enemies are not, you know, hiding in the woods. They're right out before our eyes. If we only understood the message that this is supposed to be giving to the church, it would be nice for revival to sweep through these areas and for God to save the souls of many. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have every Chinese soldier that is on our nation, our land, get saved in the revival? Wouldn't it be wonderful for that same thing to happen to every Russian that comes to America, every Muslim that comes to America? What about, I think they're called M13s. I could be wrong on that, but they're from
Mexico.
MS-13. Yes. Say it again, John.
MS-13.
They're from Mexico and South America. They're young people. They're not, you know, older adults. They're young people. They're young adults. from teenage to young adults. But these people have been trained to be like animals when they attack. And the ones that are paying for them to live in America and wait out the time that they are called forth is the elite. So they, where they started as a gang, now they're highly skilled in warfare. So we've got lots of cells that comprise the army that wants to take America down. And God has protected us all these years. Isn't that amazing? Most people would hear me say things like this and they would just be stunned, shocked, horrified to know this. But God, the Bible tells us that he directs the heart of kings. And that's exactly what he's doing. Where they could have done their thing 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, God has held them back. Not through cruelty, but just causing them to wait. So tonight, it's important for us to understand that God's will is to continue to protect America for a season. When he called me to himself for a 3-hour visitation, he told me that if we were faithful in the gatherings to do everything that he told us to do, then he would send revival to America and there would be a great harvest before he would allow war to come to this nation. If we failed, gave up, walked away, became impatient, then war would overtake America with no revival. So we have stayed true to the call, regardless of the price, both intercessors, this team, me, we stayed true because we know how serious it is. So I'm so thankful for every time you join us on this phone. We need you. We need your level of intercession wherever you are. It adds to the cup of intercession before the throne. And we need to defeat the enemy's plans for this nation. Yesterday when I was in prayer over what I would give tonight, I saw a vision. I saw a Muslim. He could have been with ISIS. He could have been with the Taliban. I don't know. All I know is that he was a warrior. And he was crouched down behind a very large rock, the kind of rocks that we have in California, up in the foothills and in the mountains. Some of those rocks stand taller than a man. So he was crouched down behind one of those rocks, but he was communicating with other men who also were waiting for the directive to arise and attack this nation. Where was he? In America. And the Lord said, I need you to have the intercessors pray over this issue. It felt like it was imminent. It feels like we're so close. I really feel like our Portland gathering is going to be so important, so imperative, to hold off some vital plans that the enemy has set up against us. This being one of them. Also, they're talking about economic failure. You just can't hardly listen to the news or go on the internet that you don't hear the latest report about just how bad the economic failure is going to be. I do believe that when they decide that they're going to change the mode for America's currency, I do believe we are going to be taken through a fairly brief downfall. But it is not going to be what the enemy, what the elite have planned. Let me, please, for a moment, just share a little bit with you on that. The angel of the Lord came and took me down Wall Street. And at the end of Wall Street, in this experience, was a cliff. He took me and caused me to hover with him over this cliff. I looked down and I saw America at the bottom of the cliff, shattered into what seemed like a million pieces, like someone had taken a mirror and just threw it down on the ground and it shattered, as mirrors will do. I gasped and I said, "Angel, how can you show this to me? How can you show me this? We have prayed so hard and so long. I've done everything that the Lord has asked me to do. How can you tell me that this is our future?" And I started weeping. Well, he immediately turned around and brought me back to my body at home. He said nothing. For 3 days and three nights, I had very little sleep, but a lot of tears, pleading with the Lord, begging the Lord to remember our sacrifices. When I say ours, I mean the sacrifices of those who are part of the ministry and those intercessors who have come to link arms with us, some at great cost. I was talking about all of us. 3 days and three nights. Finally, the Lord spoke to me audibly, and he said to me, "Nita, I am not going to let the elite fulfill their plans." So what he showed me about this economic crash is not going to be anywhere near what the elite want to do. We have forestalled their plans and purposes 10 years. However, when it does happen, there is going to be some difficulty. There's going to be some crises. But it's not going to be devastation. Those of you who are storing, like good squirrels, you need to know that God is going to help us. His church is his top priority. Second is this nation. We have not yet fulfilled our purpose as the Father of Nations, and he wants that to happen. It is necessary, partially because we are going to be filled with the gospel, and partially because we have much strength. And the Lord is going to use that strength to help other nations in the time of trouble. But the church first needs to be strong. She needs to know how to pray. She needs to know how to redirect. In our gatherings, we often will show 10 or 15 minutes, I think. I've never timed it, but it seems like it takes a half hour of answers to prayer, huge answers to prayer. I'm not saying small answers, huge answers to prayer that have taken place in the because of the gathering intercession. And I do that to let you know God is working with us. He is answering our prayers. He's directing our prayers so that he can have his will in America. His kingdom to come, his will to be done. Praise God. We have turned many things upside down that the enemy would like to do this nation. I can remember times that he has spent weeks dealing with me, preparing me for a gathering, telling me, you're going to stop war in this gathering. So be strong, be courageous, be bold, and follow me explicitly. And as you know, we have not seen war. We haven't seen war because we obeyed, and God had his will instead of the enemy having his will. So I've shared many of the enemies that I know for certain are here just waiting to be called out to fulfill the reason for them being here. And isn't it something? It's like, you know, the poisonous ants are right here in the house and they can't touch us because God is also in this house. Just say in your heart to the Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you, David said that you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And that is exactly what he's done for America. And he will continue as long as we continue to pray. So Isaiah 50 tells of the things that are waiting to happen. He's going to rise up against all the foreign troops in this nation and around this nation. Praise God. And they will become as weak and defenseless. Women, they will become as weak and defenseless as women. A sword against her treasures and they will be plundered. Praise God. A drought on her waters. That's why I shared with you what I saw. I don't know, it's been several weeks now, about a proposed drought. The enemy wants to send that to us. One time they just about succeeded, but our team met together every day for 2 or 3 hours until we broke that drought. Because we knew that it was the elite doing it with their technology. And God, although he has also sent his angel to take me across America, so that I could see the drought that the enemy has planned for this nation. Again, it was another 3 days of very little sleep, lots of weeping, and reminding him that we have stayed faithful to the vision, faithful to the call, and won't he intervene? When he finally spoke to me after 3 days and three nights, he said, Nita, I will intervene. And so, though the enemy has a plan for a drought, and there may be some degree of a drought in this nation, they are not going to be able to do what they wanted to do, which was to kill many, many people. I saw people scattered all over the lowlands, all over the highlands. Wherever there was some place for someone to fall, someone was dead and dying. But he is going to intervene against that. Though we may have food shortage, there will always be supply, either through natural means or through miraculous means at the hand of his church. Please say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jeremiah also tells us in 51:14 that caterpillars would come upon the land. As I was reading that, I thought, caterpillars? I wonder if the company Caterpillar has made war machines. So I looked it up, and what I've found is that there some of our military does drive some war vehicles with Caterpillar engines. And they will be going across the land. If God is for us, they will be defending us. If we let down and his wrath has to be poured out, they will be walking or driving with our enemies. So we really need to stay in prayer. Jesus, one of the things that we really need to repent of in this nation, and we haven't done enough of it, is repenting for all of the worship of false idols that goes on in this nation, whether it be through the New Age movement, whether it be through Hinduism, Buddhism, whether it be through stuff that has entered into the church, which is especially heartbreaking. Let me tell you of an experience that I had. Jesus came, he took me by the hand, and the next thing I knew, we were flying through the air. And he took me to the Rocky Mountains. We were high up in a high peak. I don't know, maybe it was Pike's Peak. I don't know, but it was a high peak. And he began to weep once we came down on the top of that mountain. He began to weep. And he wept. And he wept. As he wept, he began to speak to America right out of the Bible. He didn't take my Bible, which I had in my hands, but he just spoke prophetically right out of the Bible, warning us how that our strongholds would be destroyed, that our enemy would overtake us, and so on and so forth. And he said, how I have cried to you as a hen to her chicks to come under my wing, but you would not. Now this is going to happen, and there's nothing I can do. As I heard him and I saw him weeping, I'm weeping. How can you stand before the Lord when he's crying and not cry? And I said, but Lord, surely there is time to change this. Surely we can save America. And I'm weeping. He said, Nita, America has become the garden of the gods. They have left their creator. They have left the one who has blessed them for other gods. And he's still weeping. I said, but Lord, surely if we tell them, people will repent. They will weep with you. The church will break their heart for you. The church will grind in prayer against the enemy so that this nation can return to you. Give us time. Give us opportunity. And I'm pleading in this way to him. And he has given us time. He has given us opportunity. And we still have time and opportunity, but we must weep in repentance before the Lord for the church's sin and apathy and for the idols that are in the church. I mean, we all know the idols of silver and gold and so on and so forth, but it has come to a point where idols from other gods are being erected in our churches. We must weep and repent over that. We must weep and repent over the abortion issue. everything that we've ever known that we do as an insult before God, an offense before God, we must repent for until He can return and grant us the blessing of revival, which is what we've been working for 18 years. We have seen the uprising, the upcoming of artificial intelligence. And they make it look so good. Like, this is really what America needs. This could save America. But the truth is, they are producing this artificial intelligence to aid our military, to aid the government, and so on, for this hour. But ultimately, they're going to use it against us. I saw a vision. I had the team praying in front of a hospital here in Seattle, a university hospital here in Seattle. And during our prayer time, I saw a vision. The vision was of a man who half of his head, believe it or not, was computer. It's like his brain was interfaced with a computer. I tried my best to explain what I saw, and my dear Shio towed it up, and he said, "Mama, that is true. That man lives right here in Seattle. He offered himself as a person who would allow them to experience with his brain by connecting a computer right in his head to his brain. And these people are going to be used eventually, not as our friends, but our enemies. There are many things that are about to happen, and I don't have time to go over all of them. But the church needs to be strong. The church needs to be a vessel of intercession, pouring out its tears as a sweet fragrance to God. So that as many of the enemy's schemes as possible can be thwarted or at the very least delayed. And that God will be able to send revival to his repentant church. Now, I hope that I've been clear enough with you. Please read Jeremiah 50, verses 37 and 38, chapter 51, and a chapter that we're all very familiar with. I've ministered off of it many times over the years, and that's Revelation 18.